You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, so one of the things I'm most DM'd about is with almost 400 back shows, you guys are consistently telling me that you think that there's great material that is getting lost in our back catalog. And everyone's been asking me if I can think of a way to highlight some of these back episodes, the good ones. We're not going to highlight all of them, but obviously the Housewives, because that seems to be what most of you want to talk about 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and some other things. So for a minute on Fridays, we are going to be presenting some of the highlighted back shows, some of my favorite episodes, some of the episodes that were just good. And of course, it's going to center around Housewives, among some other things. So this is what I think is so great about it, because I also hear from all of you that with 5 days a week and a bonus Patreon show on Saturday, that sometimes you guys can't catch up. So hey, first of all, if you've already heard this episode and you don't want to hear it again, well, today, Fridays is your day to catch up. Let's see how long this Friday's thing lasts, but I think it's here for today. Let's see how this goes. So today is your day to catch up on episodes that you have not heard. If you've already heard it, and some of you tell me you listened to these episodes 5 or 6 times, which, I mean, bless your damn hearts, you can listen to it again. Also, if you have listened to it before and you don't want to listen to it again, well, now is the time for you to go over to Patreon. By the way, for everyone who is on our Patreon, you guys know it is much different than the main show. Here, I interview people. I'm a journalist. It's not about me having an opinion. It's about me getting all the tea for all of you and having no opinion and remaining neutral. Patreon is much different. I get very sloppy on Patreon. I have an opinion and I discuss lots of tea that I know myself. I heard a Roni casting rumor this week, which, you know what, unlike other podcasters who just give you these rumors, I don't like to reveal things until I know they're sure. I heard a Roni casting rumor, which comes from a reliable source, but I don't believe it. It's so just like out there that I am not even repeating it, but that's the type of stuff that we deal with on Patreon. Talk about the things that I know. So head on over to Patreon if you don't want to listen to this episode and you've already heard it, but really this listenership has gone up and keeps going up week after week and certainly month after month. So I imagine with so many new listeners in the past month, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year and a half, that a lot of these you're not going to have heard before. So it's like a trip down nostalgia, trip down memory lane. So I chose this episode. It's a chat with Joyce Gerard, who, remember season 4 of Beverly Hills? I think it was iconic because it was the first time Beverly Hills kind of like shook up the cast. I mean, they did a little bit, but like kind of shook it up New York style where they brought in new people. And I also think this is a good episode because there has been so much drama. We've contributed to a lot of it with like Catherine Edwards and Dana Wilkie on Patreon and like a lot of other of our chats, you know, with Erica, that isn't it just, don't we want like a happy, feel good Beverly Hills episode? Joyce, I really vote as one of the nicest housewives ever. She's just so entertaining. She's still best friends with Lisa Vanderpump. That is her. She is really good friends with LVP. So we talk about that. We talk about Vanderpump Rules. She crushes on James. She has a husband. So listen to this if you haven't, or listen again, or head on over to Patreon. This is what you guys asked for. You guys asked for highlights of past episodes. We're going to try it out this Friday. Let's see if it works. I think we might be doing it, you know, a couple of Fridays. And hope you enjoy this chat with Joyce Gerard. I love Joyce. All right. Hope you guys enjoy it. Hey guys, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet rope. How is everybody doing?
We are here today with a very special guest, the one and only Joyce Gerard, former Real Housewife of Beverly Hills, forever Real Housewife of Beverly Hills, and a real Real Housewife of Beverly Hills. How are you?
Hi, David. How are you? I send you a big, big cyber kiss, a big cyber hug, a no contact hug.
You look so nice today.
Thank you. You look great.
I do. Well, you know,
good smile. As long as that smile is up, that's everything.
I have to say that I have taken a shower today for the first time in about 9 days.
No.
Well, that's what someone else said. Maybe like 7 days. I've taken this staying into another level. I mean, you look all refreshed though.
You know what? I'm super fresh every day. And all my friends tell me, how are you doing to keep the sanity and to stay so happy? You're always so happy. And I think, you know, you just have to remember to take a little time for yourself. I'm enjoying this quarantine, actually. I love being with the munchkins.
I know.
Although I have to admit, the first day of homeschooling was a pain in my butt. But the second day went easier. And now this is the second week. And it's so far, let me knock on wood. I don't want to jinx it. But so far, it's been great. And talking about showers, my happy place is to take a bath.
I
have to do it every single day, even if it's a 5-minute bath. I have to take a bath. That's like my alone, happy place, happy time.
And you do that like even before the quarantine, you're just a bath person.
I'm a total bath person. Even before the quarantine, every single day I take a bath. When I was single, I would study my lines for my acting gigs in the bath. I would read all my books in the bath. My friend said, you literally live in the bath. And it's true. I love, love being in the bath.
Really? That's nice. I mean, I can see that. And, you know, I have to say, I have a lot of friends with children. And yes, all my friends over the past week to 2 weeks, the only thing they are complaining about is homeschooling. They're like, it's really hard.
You know, it's hard at the beginning. But I think the first day, the reason why for me personally, I'm not talking about other friends because everybody's experience is different. But for me personally, I think the first day it was hard because my munchkins were trying to put resistance. Like they were thinking, no, you're mama. You know, you do homework with me, but you're mama. You know, I don't want to do this. And I, you know, after the first day, I sat down with them as mama, not as the teacher principal.
Yeah.
I sat down with them and explained to them the situation properly. And sometimes they just don't understand it. You know, even though they hear it and hear it, you have to really dive in and explain it. I explained it to them and I said, guys, this is what it is. You have to help me so that I can help you. And the second day they woke up, they were earlier. I paged them throughout the house. I'm like, good morning, children, wake up. It's time for school. This is your 5-minute warning. They came before my 5-minute warning. They were like, good morning, mama. We're ready for school. And I'm like, oh my God. Thank you, God. It was so beautiful. And now I don't have to fight them. They're doing it. Yesterday I had to fight them a little bit for physical education. It was PE day. And they were like, okay, now you're pushing it. I don't want to do these running around and jumping jacks and stuff, but they ended up doing it. So I think, you know, for me personally, the worst about the quarantine is not the homeschooling anymore. For me, the worst is I don't want to go to the supermarket that many times. I've only been once in quarantine. I have to go today, actually. But I like having fresh stuff, like fresh salads, fresh fruits, fresh vegetables. And this Instacart and this Amazon delivery and all these deliveries are not working.
No.
Saying to me, I don't understand how Bezos doesn't put a lot of money behind it and hire a bunch of people so that everyone can just stay home, get their food delivered, and let's stop this virus. You know, I don't get it. I mean,
I
have to go out today to the supermarket.
So. I'm in the same thing. Like, I don't really cook. I'm sure you cook. I don't cook. So I am going back and forth. I mean, like at least living in New York City, we have deliveries, but then that's not even so safe. But I went to the grocery store today too. And I'm like a pretty laid back person. But I was starting to freak out there. I'm like, there's people everywhere here.
Yeah.
And yeah, also, why isn't everyone staying home? I mean, people were out and about in general. And I'm like, everyone needs to just stay home. But I kind of freaked out at the grocery store today. And I'm not good with getting enough stuff. So now I'm like, I think I have like maybe 5 days worth of stuff. And I'm like, I guess that's really my goal, is just not to go out more than once a week.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's hard, because usually if I feel like, okay, tonight I'm going to make this recipe, whatever, I go, I buy the fresh stuff, I come back, I make it amazing. And now it's like, okay, let me see what I can make, you know? So, and when I went last week, I hadn't gone. And when I went last week, I was so fast because there was so many people there. And I have my mom here with us right now.
She
was
visiting, okay.
Thank God. She was supposed to leave the day that the quarantine started. So I said, no, mom, you're staying.
Yeah.
So I have to watch it even more for her, you know, because they say obviously that it attacks older people a lot worse.
Yeah.
So I'm being extra, 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 extra careful for her.
Me too.
But, you know, it's a little bit hard in that sense. Everything else, I'm enjoying the quality time with my family. I'm enjoying even my friends that are single and my beautiful gay friends that are lonely and telling me, I'm so lonely, I'm home alone, I miss you, I want to come home. We're doing FaceTimes,
Zooms.
I've connected even with friends of mine that I hadn't talked to in a while, because I'm sending just lovey-dovey to everyone so they know that they're not alone. So it hasn't been so bad. We just have to count our blessings.
That's how I feel. I mean, I'm getting to things I should have gotten to in 2018. Like, no exaggeration, things that have been on my list for like 2 years. And yeah, I feel like it's the same thing. Like, I'm home alone. I have a lot of friends that are home alone, but it's better than, you know, just like, I have a friend who's going to someone else's house and I'm like, no, this, like, you can't. Like, yeah. Just be alone.
Yeah,
because we have to get over this, and this is the only way to do it.
I wish everyone would just say, okay, guys, let's do this 2 weeks. Everyone stay home. You're only going to get your groceries delivered. The people that are going to be working are the people that are doing deliveries.
Right.
Hire people that live alone to do deliveries, so they're not.
Yeah.
Leave the groceries outside. Disinfect them before you bring them in. Let's really kill this thing. But instead, people are so selfish and keep going out. And you know, just this weekend, you saw the beaches and the parks here in Beverly Hills and everywhere full. It was nuts. I was like, wow, that's so
crazy.
Selfish. It's so selfish, you know?
It is. Sad. And it's like, so I live in Chelsea in New York. So like when I look outside my window, it's pretty quiet. But then I see on the news, like other parts of New York City, there's a lot of people out.
Yeah. Central Park was packed this weekend.
Wow.
Like, come on, guys, just stay home. We're all in it together.
Yeah.
It's not like, okay, I'm going to go out because I get to be out alone and have the streets to myself. No, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Stay home, you know, get decked out. I tell all my girls, you know what? Get decked out. Just get beautiful. Last Friday, we were going to do Shabbat. We do Shabbat every Friday. Oh. And Leo, my big boy, my 10-year-old, says, Mama, I don't want you to be like in your casual stuff today. I want you to be like always, you know, like in our normal Shabbats. And I said, what does that mean? And he goes, well, you know, you normally do your hair and you normally do your face and it looks really pretty. I want you to be like really nice. And I said, okay. So I put just a little BB cream and a little, you know, like right now. And he goes, Mama, can you put on a little more? And I'm like, oh my God, you're demanding. So I ended up putting a little fall fur and everything. And he's like,
oh my God,
amazing. And I'm like, okay, let's go. Let's go to the dining room. Let's go have a dinner. So I was joking the other day because this, my gay best friend from Puerto Rico tells me, listen, I got all decked out and I went to throw the trash. And I'm like, oh my God, I love it. He's like, you don't understand. I literally got decked out to go throw the trash. He made a video and I said, oh my God, you have to send me that. He hasn't sent it to me yet. I have to tell him.
I get it. I dressed up today to go to the, like, someone was like, literally, I took a picture and my friend was like, I love that outfit. Like, when is that from? I'm like, it's from right now. And she's like, what? And I'm like, well, I'm actually going to the grocery store. Normally I just go in sweats. I don't care. But I'm like, you still want to feel like somewhat, you know, like some regular routine.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm keeping a routine. I mean, I'm with
me
kids,
too.
I'm keeping, they told me today, can we be done with school earlier? And I said, well, because you did everything, but in the afternoon we have homework. And they're like, what do you mean? We just did everything. We have homework. I'm like, yeah, we're going to do art for homework. And they're like, okay, mama. Like, I'm like, yeah, in the afternoon we have homework. So I'm trying to keep
them
routine. Actually, Monday, just to step out of the routine, because, you know, after the weekend, I wanted to make it a little different. I woke them up with their alarm, you know, with their ringing around the house, the page. I'm like, hurry up, guys, hurry up. Did you do your hair? Did you brush your teeth? Where's your backpack? I got them entirely ready with backpack and everything, got the keys, said, come on. And they're like, is school back? And I said, yeah, come on, let's get in the car. We got in the car. We drove to the end of the street, drove back. And I said, okay, welcome to school. And they're like, you're a little bit nuts. And I'm like, yeah, it's school again. It's a new week.
That's good.
Just to get them out of the, you know, weekend lazy routine. Because weekends, we usually love to be lazy and stay home.
Yeah. Now, going all the way back, just so where are you from? Tell me, like, where you're from. I mean, I know a little bit, but tell all of the listeners, like, where are you from? Where were you born? Where'd you grow up? This is all about Joyce here today.
I'm from Aguas Buenas, Puerto Rico. Aguas Buenas is the mountains. It's in the north of Puerto Rico, but it's the mountainside. So I didn't grow up in the beaches. Like everyone, when they think of Puerto Rico, they think of the glamorous beaches or the beautiful, you know, palm trees and everything. I grew up in the mountains and I grew up milking the cows. And, you know, I'm a total mountain chick. I grew up barefoot. We didn't grow up with a lot of money. We grew up very, very humble. So very, very humble beginnings, but extreme love. And maybe that's why I'm so happy, because I know that happiness doesn't come from anything material. Happiness really comes from love. So that's just my little background. Grew up in Puerto Rico. I was an army brat. So I did travel a tiny little bit before my parents got divorced. They got divorced when I was very little.
Me too.
Oh, you too?
Yeah. Oh. I was 9. My sister was 7. So.
Yeah, I was 7.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I was 7. And my brother was older. But you know, after that, we stayed in Puerto Rico. And when I traveled, I lived in different places, Germany being one of them. And, you know, look at the world, how crazy is the world. My husband is German. But I don't really remember much because I was very young when I was in Germany. I do remember a little park that I was in, it close to the military base. And when I started dating my husband, he found the park for me and took me to the park.
Oh, wow.
That I remembered. And I'm like, oh, my God, I remember it so much bigger, this park. It was amazing. It was so beautiful.
That's very romantic.
Yeah, he was super romantic. It was this park called in Bad Kreuznach, where it's close to the military base in Germany. What was a military, it's no longer a military base, but it was back then. And I have this memory very vivid because I thought I was Wonder Woman and there was a little girl falling and I literally go, Wonder Woman. And I jumped from the top of the slide all the way to the bottom. My two legs, I literally have the scars to prove it from my jump.
Oh my God.
And I saved the little girl, so it was all good.
That's crazy.
My God.
What was I going to say then? How did you end up, like, did you go right from Prague? How'd you end up in LA and Beverly Hills, all of this?
So I started modeling. I got discovered after university. I was a total nerd. Let me go a little bit back. I was a total nerd. I finished both of my bachelor's degrees by the age of 19. I studied social work and special education.
I graduated college early too. I was a total nerd and majored in accounting and graduated early.
Oh my God, we're like lost brother and sister here.
Kind of. I could be your long lost gay brother.
Yes, I love it. I love it. I need a gay brother. I have a lot of gay friends, but I haven't found my long lost brother.
See? There you go.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Making content is such an essential part of what I do to keep this show going, but it hasn't always been a seamless creative process. Listen, in addition to what you guys see every day on Instagram, I tweet the show out and I post tons of video clips on YouTube all day for that day's show. I'll be honest, my design skill level ain't so great, and my ability to learn new platforms is even worse. Ever since I found Canva Pro, I can design anything like a pro on any device. I feel like such an expert with Canva Pro. Listen, it's a design platform that empowers you to create and share stunning content with just a few clicks. Designing with Canva Pro is so much fun and it's fast. You could choose from thousands of templates that are easy to customize, or you can just start from scratch. What I like the best about Canva Pro is everything is in one place and it helps me stay organized. Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, video editor, it's all right there. So it's easy for me to stay on the same page with everyone else I'm working with. There's no more misplaced files and there's no more tedious back and forth. The other thing I love about Canva Pro is the price. For just $12.99 a month, you and four teammates can unlock everything Canva Pro has to offer. Really, design like a pro with Canva Pro. Right now, you can get a free 45-day extended trial when you use my promo code. Just go to canva.me/velvetrope to get free 45 days of an extended trial period. That's canva.me/velvetrope. canva.me/velvetrope. And you get a free 45-day extended trial period. Trust me, you're going to love it and it's going to make your life so much easier. You're going to be designing things that are so amazing. You can thank me later. canva.me/velvetrope.
So I nerd like you. Now we have a second thing in common. So I was a total nerd and I was studying, and in my last year of university, to pay for school, I worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken. I started working very young at KFC. And my mom says, listen, I don't want you to work. It was one of the first times I lied to my mom because I faked my passport and everything to have the proper age and whatever. And I got discovered at the drive-thru of KFC by a photographer in Puerto Rico. And he says, are you a model? And I'm like, I look at him like, here we go again. Because I used to get bullied for being so skinny. They called me all sorts of things, like olive oil and you're a toothpick and this and that, because I was super, super skinny. I look at him and I'm like, and he's like, no, you're the perfect look of a campaign that I'm casting. And I'm like, sir, can you pay your chicken, please? And he pays me, goes and parks. His name is Ivan Batista. May he rest in peace. He died right after Hurricane Maria. And Ivan literally pays me, goes around, parks, and goes and talks to the manager and tells the manager, I will give you $50 if you convince that girl to do my campaign. And then the manager is like, Joyce, you should totally be a model. I'll give you the day off. And I'm like, what are you getting? I'm getting $50. And I'm like, well, I can go, but I'll go with my entire family. I took literally my uncles, my cousins, my brother, my mom. We were literally like a 20 people entourage. Of course, all of us, you know, really humble, like, okay. And my uncle, I remember he was like, what's going on here? What do you mean this campaign? What are you going to do to her? And what is it going to be? And the photographer was like, it's just some pictures. You know, they do her makeup. They put some clothes on her.
And I
was like, oh, that sounds nice. And I did the campaign. I remember I got paid $500 for it. That was a lot of money for me back then. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. You get paid to just look pretty. I feel pretty. I'm getting paid to look pretty. And I ended up modeling a lot and I became one of the top models in Puerto Rico. And then I traveled a lot and then I competed in the Miss Puerto Rico and I won. I was lucky enough to win. And in the Miss Universe, I was second runner up. And then after the Miss Universe, they called me for a show called Destination Stardom. It was Byron Allen's and the Messini's remake of Star Search.
Oh, okay.
And I competed in the spokesmodel category, and I was the only one in the whole history of the entire Star Search to be undefeated from the beginning to the end. And I won everything.
Really?
A lot of money. I was very lucky. Was able to buy my mom a house with the money.
Wow.
And then with the money I made, after that, I competed in another thing, in another international model search called Miss Venus in Jacksonville, Florida. And I won as well. And all the money that I had, I've always been a saver, all the money that I had, There was an audition for Baywatch. So the Messinis say, listen, you have to come to LA. They fly you to audition. And I'm like, Baywatch? I'm not a good swimmer. Cause I'm really not a good swimmer. I mean, I can swim like a puppy and stuff, but I'm not like Baywatch material, you know? And I'm like, I'm not a good swimmer. And they're like, no, it doesn't matter. You have to come. They're flying you for the audition. I'm like, ah. So they fly me over to LA. And I remember my audition. They tell me jump in the pool. And I'm like, no, it's so cold. I don't want to jump.
Oh my God.
And when I jump, I'm like, you know, putting my finger, my nose and jumping. And they're like, okay, let's work with this because we really like you, but you need to like fake it a little. And I'm like, okay, let's fake it a little. And I booked the part. It was Baywatch Hawaii. And then after that, I said, you know what? I like this acting. I kind of like it, but I need to study it because I'm not an actress. I need to study. So then I moved to LA. I decided to take the leap and stop modeling. I was modeling a lot in Miami, New York, and everywhere. And I moved to LA. And when I moved to LA, the first 2 years, I literally just studied acting. And then that's what brought me here. And then I was lucky enough, I booked different stuff. I did Joey. House of Pain. I did Siberia, which we produced as well. I was lead in that. And a couple of movies. So I was very lucky and very blessed and very happy.
Did you get to, I mean, so like when you were in Baywatch, like did you have, was that like Pamela Anderson time?
No, it was Baywatch Hawaii.
Okay.
It was Baywatch Hawaii. Pamela Anderson time, I was still in Puerto Rico growing up in the mountains.
So did you hang out during that time? Like, did you ever like date anyone that we would know? I mean, you're happily married now, I know, but like, you know, you didn't go on any date with Matt LeBlanc or anything like that.
No, Matt was super adorable. He was actually at the time dating the blonde girl that was on the show. I forgot her name. I think her character was Andrea.
Andrea Anders, maybe?
I think that was her, the blonde that was the lead on the show.
Do you see the stuff that I know?
Yeah, I know. Seriously.
I know.
I'm so bad with names, but I'm like, I think her name's Andrew. So they were dating and she was adorable and he was so sweet. I mean, they made me feel so good. I was like his love interest in the episodes I did. And he was so sweet. And everybody. I mean, the director was Jack Gyllenhaal's dad. It was just an amazing experience. It was really cool.
That's like,
but
amazing.
I've loved all of the projects I've worked on. Tyler Perry's, I loved. I lived in Atlanta for a little bit. I've loved all the projects I've done.
And so that's kind of how you got to LA. And then did you meet your husband in LA or?
I met my hubby in LA on a blind date.
Really?
Yeah.
A dating app or through like
No dating app. I wish there was dating apps back then. I mean, we've been together now 17 years.
Oh, wow.
17 years ago, Google wasn't a thing. You know, dating apps weren't a thing.
Yeah.
I say this all the time and I laugh about it still because I had a computer that I won in the Miss Puerto Rico as one of the gifts. And I kept it in the box because I didn't want it to go bad. And I'm like, I think if I take it out a lot, it'll go bad. So I got to use it, put it back in the box.
Really? You wanted to preserve it. Yeah. You wanted to preserve it.
I wanted to preserve it. I wanted to keep it new and pretty. It was so cute and it was super thick. And when I look at it, you know, if I think about it now, I'm like, oh my God, that was like a brick. But no, there was no dating apps. I tell all my single gals, I wish I was single in the times of dating apps. It feels so easy. You know, it feels like so accessible and easy and amazing. But the way we met was through this girl, this mutual friend. I didn't even know her. I had met her one time. This girl from New York. And she tells me, she calls me. I met her at a Super Bowl party. And she calls me a couple months later and says, you have to meet the boyfriend of the boss of my boyfriend. When she said boss of my boyfriend, I said, okay, he's old. And I said, listen, no, I'm not a gold digger. I know a lot of girls in LA are gold diggers, but no, I'm not going to date an old guy. My mom would kill me. And she goes, no, you have to meet him. But she never told me his age or anything. I mean, we're the same age, you know, and he's gorgeous. And I remember she kept insisting. And I tell her, if you give the guy my number, you can lose my number. Because that's breaking girl code. Do not give him my number.
Yeah.
Dinner when you come to LA. She's like, but I'm not going to LA until next year. I'm like, it doesn't matter. Then next year we do a dinner. So she gave him my number. He started calling me. He called me for 3 months in a row every single day.
Really?
Until, every single day, every single day. I was in New York actually doing a modeling gig, and I was at the lounge waiting to come back to LA, and he calls me at the lounge, and I'm like, oh, hey. I used to call him my oldie, and I'm like, oh, hey, how are you? Because on the phone, I really loved him. Like, we were, like, so connected. We liked exactly the same things. And I used to joke and tell my friends, if he was only 40, I would go out with him. But I can't go out with an 80-year-old. You know, I can't. If he was 40, I would totally go out with him. And there was this girl that I was, like, giving him to her because she liked older guys. So I was like, he's for Lauren. He's not for me.
Wow.
And I would talk to him about my friend and everything and tell the girls, it's oldie. He's so nice. I like him so much. He's so sweet. He's going to be my friend for life. And then finally, one day, that day that I was in the lounge and he calls me, he says, so when are you going back? And I said, I'm in the lounge. I'm literally going to fly back in a little bit. He calls me and he told me he was going to Germany. He calls me again when I'm entering my apartment. And I'm like, Oldie's calling me from the plane. How decadent is that? He's calling from the plane. And I pick up and I'm like, oh my God, you're calling me from the plane. How decadent. I'm telling you, Lauren will love you. And he's like, what are you doing tonight? And I said, oh, I'm just going to order some Chinese and stay home. And he goes, okay, I'll pick you up at 8. And I'm like, wait a minute. What do you mean you'll pick me up at 8? And he's like, I'll pick you up at 8. And I said, but I thought you're in Germany. And he goes, no, I've postponed my plans for later because I want to meet you. And I'm like, what do you mean you postpone your plans? Well, and I was just silent because I didn't have any excuse for 3 months.
Yeah.
I had the book, I got to wash my hair. I got to study. I got to read a book. I got to do this. I got to do that. I have my period, whatever. And I was finally so quiet. And he always says that this was the longest silence of his life because I was just so quiet. And he's like, hello. And I'm like, well, perhaps we just do a little coffee. And he's like, coffee's bullshit. I'll pick you up at 8. And I'm like, okay, then. I was like, Oldie has big cojones. Let's go. And I said, I'll just be really ugly and he won't like me, but we'll be friends for life, because I have a lot of guy friends.
Yeah.
That are and young ones. And I have a lot of male friends. So I said, I'll be really ugly. And he'll say, okay, she's not my type, but she'll be my friend because we really enjoy talking to each other. So I put my hair in a bun, zero makeup, big cowboy jeans, flat cowboy boots, little wife beater, just looking bad, not looking great. And I just show up. And when I show up, I remember he looks at me and he's like, you're you. I look at him and I'm like, you're you. And he's like, finally, he gives me the two European kisses. By the time he put me in the car, I was like, oh my God, let me let my hair down. Oh my God, I look like shit. Then I went to the bathroom, tried to get Mercy makeup, couldn't find any. Anyway, to make a long story short, 17 years later, survived.
Wow.
The show, two kids later. And we're still happy, like the first day, thank God.
So you never saw a picture of him before you met him?
Never, because Google, like I said, wasn't a thing.
Wow.
And I was talking to the girl. For 3 months, I didn't talk to the girl that introduced us because I thought she broke code. I told her not to.
Yeah.
So I was upset at her, and I never saw his picture. And I never, in all our conversations that we talked about everything in the planet, because he called me every day for 3 months, we kept talking about everything in the planet. We never talked about age. Or, it just never occurred to me to say, hey, how old are you really? Which I should have.
You had this whole backstory, see? You made this whole backstory up.
I made this whole preconceived notion of what he was and what he looked like. And, I tell everyone we should never have preconceived ideas on anyone. Yet I did with my husband. And had I not done that, I would have... I wouldn't have wasted so much time. We would have been together much earlier. Those
wow.
3 months were wasted.
So you guys married and then you settled right in where you are. You're in Beverly Hills now, Bel Air or
yes,
that
general.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. We got married 11 years ago now. We actually celebrate it. We get married every year. We renew our vows every single year. And we like to get married in different places of the world. This year was supposed to be in Canada. We're not going to be able to do that. But we did do our honeymoon because we do a honeymoon every year. So we did our honeymoon already. We were going to get married on my birthday, April 4th. We're obviously not going to be able to do that. We were going to do a double whammy, celebrate my birthday. But we're going to get married in our garden this year. So
that's nice.
Yes.
That's nice. Okay. So now there's a lot of other stuff to talk about. So now you're living in Beverly Hills. Now, when the Beverly Hills Housewives was being cast, like not even for you, just in the beginning, like, do you remember, like, did you know any of them? Was there talk around town like, oh, we're casting this show, you know, there's the New York version. Like, were you friends with anyone like in the first season when it was cast?
Yes. I was actually friends with Taylor's husband. May he rest in peace.
Okay.
And I remember we were at a mutual friend's dinner party at their home in Beverly Hills. And he was there and he was asking my husband for some advice. He was like, what do you think about realities? What do you think about this? Because there's this new reality show that they're offering Taylor. So what do you think?
Right.
So we were just, you know, normal talking, and she was super sweet. She's adorable. I still like her very, very much. And she was super sweet. We were just normal talking. That's the only thing I heard about the show before it came out. Then when it came out, I wasn't really watching it. You know, I wasn't really a fan of the show. But I would see always at Mohammed's house, I would always see Lisa from time to time because they were super close. But we weren't friends. We had never, you know, we were introduced just, hi, nice to meet you, but we weren't friends or anything. We never even had a dinner together or nothing, you know. So I wasn't really friends with any of the girls when I went into it. I didn't really know any of them at all.
Interesting.
I had Taylor was no longer in the show.
Right. I had sat down with Taylor just like this, and I thought she was absolutely lovely. And she really, you know, she's doing a lot for the cause. Like, she really is. Like, listen, you have your own versions. I didn't think our chat was going to be that deep, and it really was. So I loved Taylor when I spoke to her.
Yeah. I like her a lot. She's super sweet.
She was great. So then, right, so you didn't know anyone because Taylor wasn't on the show.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Check out betterhelp.com/velvetrope. You may not be feeling down and out and depressed or like you're at a total loss, but if your stress level is high, your temper is shorter than usual, or even if you're starting to feel strain in any of your relationships, you could probably use the chance to unload. Talk to someone who's completely unbiased and who's not going to judge you or take sides. If there's stuff you can't tell your friends or family, this is the place to do it. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Unload the stressors and get some unbiased feedback. You'd be pretty surprised at what you might gain for it. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Behind the Velvet Rope listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/velvetrope. That's BETTERHELP.com/velvetrope. BetterHelp.com/velvetrope.
And then how did it come to you getting cast in season 4?
So they had done, in the acting side, you know, they had done a little piece of me in a magazine in Beverly Hills. Like, what do you like? What designers do you like? La, 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 la. Just that, you know, it was a piece on an actress, right? On Joyce, the actress.
Yeah.
And the editor of that magazine calls me and says, listen, my friend is casting this show. And I know right now you're the lead on this NBC show, but I showed my friend your pictures and my friend says you're amazing. And my friend really wants to meet you. And I said, well, I can't. I'm in Canada, because I was still shooting my NBC show in Canada. So I'm like, I can't. I'm in Canada. When are you back? Well, I'm not back for a month. Okay, can we organize this meeting for a month? And I said, of course I'll meet your friend, because the editor was super sweet and a good friend. And I said, of course I'll meet your friend, but it has to be in a month when I'm back. So then I met the casting director. His name was Michael. Adorable guy. Loved him. I fell in love with him. And he was like, I love you. You have to do this show. You are so amazing. If they show you exactly the way you are, everyone's going to love you as much as I love you. I love you so much. You have to do the show. And I was like, really? But it's a reality. I mean, reality is not good for an actress.
Right.
And right now I'm the lead on this show. This is going to be bad for my acting. You know, it's not, I should have thought about it a little more. But he was so nice and so insistent. Then I left again to Canada to do more of the show. And when I was there, the producers call me and they say, listen, we really want to meet you. We love you. We really want to meet you. We saw your tape. We really love you. We want to meet you. And I said, well, I can't. I'm in Canada again. They said, when you're back, when I was back, they said, can we meet right away? And I said, well, and they sent me champagne in Canada in my hotel. They were just adorable. And when I came back, I met with them and I said, you know what? They're so sweet. What do I have to lose? Who cares? I mean, people will just see me for who I am. It is, you know, probably the fights are fake and the friendships are real and probably they're really good friends and it's just fake fighting and whatever, you know?
Right.
So I said, whatever, let's go meet them. Let's see. And when I loved them so much, I said, you know what? Let's try. Let's do this. I can try one season. Let's see how it goes. And I tried and I should have thought about it a little more.
You're like, wait a second. The fights are not fake.
The friendships are fake and the fights are real.
Kind of. Wait, so you were on a show, you were on like an actual scripted show in Canada the time. Oh, wow. Yeah.
You guys can watch it now. I think, I'm not sure if it's on Hulu or on Netflix, I think. It's called Siberia.
Really? Oh, wow. How long was it on for?
It was meant to be the one season because it's the plot of the show is that it's a fake reality show.
I love it.
I know it's that it's a fake reality show and that this group of contestants are kind of survivor contestants and they're dropped in the middle of nowhere in Siberia.
Okay, that sounds absolutely amazing. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's a cool show. It's a cool show. Everybody's asking for us to do more. We said, well, it was meant to be the one, but let's see. And now everybody's talking about it and everybody says, oh my God, we really want to do more. So we're contemplating and thinking about it. We were thinking about it before this whole Corona thing exploded. Now it's on hold, of course, as everything is. But we were thinking about it because everyone's asking us to do more.
That sounds, I'm going to have to go and find it now. That sounds like the concept of it sounds great.
Yeah, go find it.
Because I mean, that was the thing. Like this was before like Lisa Rinna, you know, like I could see back in the day, there was that stigma of like, I'm an actress. Now I'm going to do a reality show. Now it's almost like looked upon so differently.
Well, now they're all actresses.
Yeah, kind of.
The entire cast, most of them are actresses.
Kind of, you know, at least in Beverly Hills, that is.
Yeah.
So you got on the show. So you didn't know anyone. So was the show, was it different than you expected? Were you like, oh my God, this is real and this drama is real? Like, was it different from that perspective?
Yeah, it was.
You're like, this is supposed to be
I don't want to rehash a lot of the...
We'll keep it positive.
Yes. It's not the time to rehash the drama and the negativity. It's the time to inspire and spread love. But yeah, it was different than what I expected.
And then out of that show, because I really don't know the answer, like who do you keep in touch with anyone? Like you're still friends with
Lisa? I'm really good friends with Lisa. I love her so much. We've been texting right now in this Corona crisis and... You know, I even told her the other day because we've been so busy. I've been traveling so much and she's been so busy with Vegas and stuff. We do see each other, but I haven't seen her, I would say, like in, I don't know, like 2 months. I haven't seen her. We text, of course, but we haven't seen each other like in 2 months. And we were just texting yesterday and I said, oh my God, babe, I'm so mad that we didn't see each other more when we could. I love you. And I sent Ken a kiss. And when this is over, I promise you I'm going to make more time, as are you. You know, we both said, you know, it's a good moment for us to realize and say, okay, the friends that I love, even if you're busy, even if life is super busy, make time for those friends that you love because you never know, you know, if suddenly you can't see them anymore.
That's how I feel.
I love her. I love her. Last year, she did my birthday party for me, my birthday with the kids and Ken.
Because you were at, weren't you at the opening of Vanderpump Vegas?
Yeah.
I was there too. I was there too. I happened to be going to a Cher concert that was the same night. So I just happened to be in Vegas. And I'm like, this is just like the gods above are looking down on me that I can now do two things at once. But I think like you and Camille were there.
Yeah, I was there with Camille, Lisa. We flew together in the plane. I mean, we see each other all the time.
That's
always
awesome. Her.
The only reason why I haven't seen her in like 2 months is because I was so busy with the line and we were traveling so much. And then I went on my 3 week honeymoon with my husband. And, you know, so we had all this stuff going on. So that's the only reason why I haven't seen her. But yeah, I adore her. She's great. Ken is great. Pandy. I mean, I love her.
Yeah, I've met her. Like, I've met them because she does, like, a lot of those bottle signings for, like, Vanderpump Rosé. So I've been to those. And, like, so she's quarantining safely.
Yeah, she is. She is.
Do you guys live? I have to say, no, I don't remember. I have a very, I don't have the greatest memory, but out of all the houses on every show, I always say Lisa's house is my, I love a glass house and a moat. Like, her house.
I love her house. I love her house. It's just so beautiful. It's so glamorous. It's gorgeous. We do live very close. As a matter of fact, I used to live literally across from her. How crazy is this world? But she wasn't living there at the time. She was living in Beverly Park. She moved to the new house not so long ago. So we would have literally been neighbors had I not moved. But we still live close. We live probably like 10 minutes away from each other. So we're super close. I love her. She's great. And when you go and you see the ponies and so many doggies, and I wish I could have a million dogs, but my rescue German Shepherd is a bit territorial and she doesn't accept anyone around her other than her one little brother.
She wants just one dog.
She wants just him. And her name is Someone. And I'm like, Someone, you can't be such an a-hole. You have to be nice to other doggies. I mean, it's your breed. And she doesn't let me have other dogs. For me, I would have 20 dogs because we have such a big yard. You know, I would love to have it full of dogs and something, but my German Shepherd is just not having it.
You just have the one dog.
I have Someone and I have Trouble. Uh-huh. Trouble is my other dog. And Trouble somehow won her. He's also a rescue. He's a schnoodle. And I don't know how he won her over. When we tried, because I was just fostering him at the beginning, when we brought him, I said, okay, I'm going to have to keep him separate so she doesn't kill the doggy. And she pinned him down and the dog was just so submissive. And it was almost like, yeah, you're the boss, you know? And now he's the boss, of course. But coming in, he made her think that he was the boss. So she accepted it. And now they're the best of friends. So
that's so funny. And now, what is this that I saw online that you work with Michael Jackson?
I did. I did a movie with him.
Really?
His last movie. It was called Miss... What was it? Oh, my God. Miss something.
I was like, oh, my
Miss,
God.
Miss, some, not Miss Congeniality, Miss something. It was his last... Look it up. It was his last... Or you can look it up on my IMDb. I forgot the name. Oh, my God. It'll come to me in a little bit. But it was his last movie. He was super nice. I was the lead in the movie, and it was with Charlie Schlater and a great cast. And he was awesome. I'm so mad at myself that I didn't take a picture with him because I wanted to be polite. And right. I just, you know, and he took a picture with me. He's like, oh, can we take a picture? And instead of me being not stupid, because that's the word, stupid. I was just stupid. And just saying, of course, let's take a picture. Let's both take a picture. I was like, of course, let's take a picture. We took a picture and I didn't take one with him. So I'm so angry at myself. But I have the movie, so I have the footage.
That's something. I am all about the picture, though. Trust me. I'm so mad at myself.
Same thing happened to me with Prince. Are you kidding me?
I love Prince.
I'm so mad at myself, like literally pissed off. He was the neighbor of one of my dearest friends. And the house was actually that he was living in belonged to my friend. He was leasing it from my friend
this
George.
This is in Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles.
Okay.
So my friend George Santopietro had these two homes next to each other. And he was living in one of them. And then the one next door was Prince's house.
Oh my God.
We're there at a dinner, and George was just adorable. He left LA right now, but he was just adorable. He threw my big birthday party. He was just a great, great friend. So we're there at a dinner. This is before I was married or anything, before my husband's time. We're there at a dinner, and I'm there with a friend of mine, and George says, oh, my God, I'm going to have a surprise for you. The surprise will come in 10 minutes. And then Prince shows up, and Prince is the surprise. And I'm like, isn't that Prince? Because he was married to a friend of mine, Maite. And she's
poor. Yeah.
So when I'm like, isn't that Prince? Like Maite's ex? And my friend who's also Puerto Rican is like, I'm freaking out. Because my friend was an aspiring singer. Yeah. So she's like, I'm freaking out. That's Prince. And I'm like, why are you freaking out? What's the big fuss? And she's like, you don't understand. This is like my idol. And I'm all cool and nonchalant, like, whatever. Because I've never freaked out over anybody famous. Even
really?
Michael Jackson, I didn't freak out. I was just like, you know, and I just try to be polite and try to not ask them for stuff or pictures or autographs. So I've never freaked out. I think I would freak out over Oprah. I've never seen her. I think I would have.
Really?
but I've never freaked out over anybody else famous. So I remember I was like, just chill. And, you know, what's wrong with you? You've got to take a breath. So he comes, he sits next to me. We have dinner. He's talking all nice. And he says, you know, I really like you. You guys want to come over, all of you? And we were like 10 people at the dinner. And he says, why don't you all come over? You're so sweet. I want to give you something special, my little Puerto Rican girl. And I'm like, okay. We all go to his house. He literally puts up a concert for us. But he had like clothes and change outfits and he had a stage. And I was like, what is this? I was like, this is kind of cool. He's changing outfits and stuff. The whole shebang. And I was so stupid, I didn't take a picture with him.
And he sang like the songs we all know, like a lot of...
He sang, and I was just, my friend knew every song. I didn't know every song, but, you know, but my friend knew every song, and my friend was, like, fangirling all over. And I was just like, how cool, because he's just, for me, I was more fascinated about the outfits that he was just going to change.
Well, the outfits are amazing. Do you see my mouth is dropped open? Like, I mean, listen, I respect Michael Jackson as, like, an icon. I was never like, you know, oh my God, but Prince is a fucking god as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, he's a god. Like, Madonna to me is a god. And I also don't have a picture with her. And I was
don't
backstage.
Don't tell me you met Madonna.
I met her backstage in London at a concert. So the guy putting up the show was a friend of mine. And I happened to be in London and doing a modeling job. And he's like, you want to come over because it's Madonna's show. And I'm putting, and I said, I would love to. Of course, I love Madonna because Madonna I grew up listening to, you know, and faking her little moves in Puerto Rico in the mountains. And I go backstage and I said, they're like, what do you want to do? He's like, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to see the outfits. So he shows me the outfits. She was so nice. Like, hey, nice to meet. So nice. Not diva like they say at all. Maybe because I was with him, you know, but she was so nice. I just love, love, love Madonna. And I don't have a picture. So I hope I get the chance to have a picture before I die in my lifetime. With
do you know Madonna is my number one of all time?
I love her.
Prince is number three. She is like, she's my god. Madonna
is
like...
I love her because I remember singing, open your heart to me.
Yes.
I love Madonna.
That's like, so you've met Madonna, Prince, and Michael Jackson and don't have a picture with any of them.
But it's what my husband says. You have the great memory.
You did.
Unless you get Alzheimer's, you will die with that memory. And it's better to have a great memory and to not be bothering them. Because I'm sure everybody was asking them always for stuff and pictures. And, you know, so I have the memory. But I wish that I get a second chance with Madonna and get to get a picture with her.
You might, because she is the only person where I've lost it is Cher. I've met Cher 4 times. And I've lost it like every time. Like,
you know what? I've never met Cher. I've never met her. I'm friends with her manager. My husband is really good friends with her manager. And they were actually talking about a movie. They have a project that was in the talks for sure, Cher to star in. And I've never met her. And I said, oh my God, I can't wait to meet her. With her, I won't make the same silly mistake. And I will take a picture, hopefully. And her manager is like, yeah, we should organize it. But I'm never pushy, so I never said, okay, let's do it. Maybe after quarantine, I should say, okay, when can I meet her? Life is short. Let's go meet her. I love her. I think she is just the ultimate diva. She is just in a great way, you know, not in the negative aspect of it.
Yeah, she's
the best way.
Do people stop you for pictures or like now
they
is it
do.
Kind of thing? Yeah,
they do. And I never mind, by the way. A lot of my friends are like, doesn't it bother you? And I said, no, are you kidding me? Why not? It's an honor. It's like,
yeah,
it's an honor, you know. And sometimes they text me and they, you know, they DM me, not text, they on the Twitter. You see how cyber I am, right? So they DM me or send me messages like, oh, I saw you walking in the mall and didn't want to bother you. And I'm like, oh my God, next time come and give me a hug, you know, because I am a very touchy person. That's why it's so hard for me too right now, because I'm so touchy. I'm so like, let's hug.
Me too.
So it's hard. That's hard. But I'm honored when anybody comes up and says, hey, can we take a picture or to talk? I'm honored. Lately, I've been getting a lot of people saying, oh, you're the hair girl, because they see me on the home shopping. So they're like, oh, you're the hair lady. And I'm like, yeah, I'm Joyce. They're like, oh, my God, I'm taking your stuff. And I'm like, OK, we start talking. So lately, it's not housewives anymore. It's the hair lady. Which
I
like. I like it even more.
Well, I have to say, from talking to a lot of housewives, yes, most housewives that I talk to that are not on the show anymore are like, yes, I'm thrilled to now be recognized from whatever else they have going on.
Oh, yeah, so, for sure.
I get it.
Because it's such a minuscule, you know, it's such a little right. part of your life. Of course, I'm very blessed and grateful to the fan base because the fan base is so beautiful. I think Housewives has such a gorgeous fan base. Whether they love to love you or love to hate you, it's still a fan base, you know?
Yeah.
And it's wonderful people that get so invested. So I'm grateful for that. You can't just say, oh, no, it was horrible. I'm so grateful for the people and for the experience. I think every experience in life, whether at the moment you think it's a negative one, later on you say, you know what? It is what it is. I grew so much. I learned so much. I met so many great people that I wouldn't have met otherwise. It was a stage in my life. God knows why I had to go through that stage, you know? So I'm grateful. I think it was a great opportunity, you know, with the ups and downs, with all of it in between, it was good.
That's like a good way to look at it. Okay. You know, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, it's one little moment in life.
Yeah, it's a tiny moment in life. Life is so much more than that. You just, you know, a lot of the girls just let that consume their life. And then they end up taking antidepressants and this and that and become alcoholics and whatever it is, their escape mechanism, because they're so upset for the circumstance. You know, instead of realizing, okay, life is so much more. You had a life before this. You're going to have a life after this. Just enjoy it for what it is, but don't let it, you know, drown you. Don't let it become your life. That's just a tiny piece of your life.
Totally. And I think like a lot of people that are on it for a long time kind of get sucked into the hype.
Yeah.
You know, and then you really get to know some of the people that are on it. And you're like, you're just not a happy person. So no. You're on this and you have this, but you really are not happy. Yeah. So I don't know what the point of that is. Because yeah. This is your actual life.
Exactly. It's not a scripted show. You yeah. know, in a scripted show, you can play the villain and be a villain and be okay with being the villain. But in yeah. your life, life is so beautiful. If the message you're giving to the world and your legacy to the world is going to be that you were a bitch and that you yeah. were miserable and that you were conniving and that you were bad, what a terrible legacy to leave. Or what a terrible, you know, role model to be for your children or for the people watching. You know, life is just so grand and so beautiful. And I understand it. A show like that needs drama because it lives on drama.
Yeah.
But you don't need to go below the belt and become that person that just finds a way to attack. You know what I mean? It's just,
I do. And it's like, it's, you know, it takes a lot of angst inside of you to produce that every day, which is your job. But then like you're bringing all this angst into your life.
Yep.
Which what way is that to live long term?
Yeah. And then they wonder why everything else in the life is not going good. Then they wonder, why is the marriage falling apart? Why can't I keep a boyfriend? Why can't I keep friends? My friends leave me this. I'm bad. I'm sad. I'm depressed. Well, maybe take a deep soul search and start being nice and spreading love, because life is a boomerang and you get what you receive. You know, you get what you give. You know,
it's
it all
true.
Comes down. So
it's true. And like, that's what I say about this whole quarantine. I mean, who knows how everyone's going to emerge from it. But I feel like if there's no soul there, like you're left now with your own thoughts. So you better figure it out now. Like if it's all about Instagram and whatever, like you don't got, I mean, you still have it, but you're inside now. So you better pull it from inside. And if you're not happy with what's there, I think a lot of people are going to go through a lot with this quarantine. That's just my prediction.
Me too. I think if you can be happy with yourself, and I always say that to everyone. I can't post enough about it. In all my pictures, that's always my message. Love yourself so you can love others. You have to love yourself. You have to like the person you are so that you can give love. And if you give love, you're going to receive it. I guarantee you 100% that you're going to receive it. And life is just such a beautiful gift. If you wake up every single morning with a grateful heart, then you will be a happy person. For me, when I wake up, my husband says, oh my God, after 17 years, you still wake up the same. I wake up happy when I open my eyes, I open my eyes and I'm like, oh, the first thing I do is, thank you, God, I'm alive again. You know, life is a gift. Every day is a gift. And I tell all my friends, you could talk to the richest person in the world. You could talk to the richest man with the biggest fortune. And if they're in their deathbed and somebody tells them, would you give your entire fortune for just one more day? I guarantee you the answer would be yes. No ands, ifs, or buts. The answer would be yes, because for just one more day to be with your loved ones, for one more day to do what you dreamed of, for one more day to live in this beautiful earth. And we have it. And sometimes we waste it and throw it away. You know what I mean? We have it. It's not even like a question, do you want another day? We have it. And we waste it doubting ourselves, doubting everyone around us, spreading negativity. You know, let's just be happy and love this world.
I see. Listen, we are seriously separated at birth. I am like your, I'm like your gay Jewish New York sister.
I love it.
Because I am seriously, I'm not kidding you. I am the same way. Like now, the second thing I do is run for my coffee. But
Me too.
Right,
so like, I swear. The first thing, well, no, it's not the second thing I do. The first thing I do is I'm happy and I thank God. I always do a little thing with God. Then I kiss my husband. And then I need my coffee. Even before I give the munchkins breakfast, coffee is my one drug of choice. Coffee and chocolate.
Me too. Mine is coffee and vodka, but really, really coffee. Like I wake up every day happy. Like that's why, like this quarantine, it's not necessarily going to teach me anything because I valued life before. Like I would wake up every day and I'd be like, listen, if I look down and have both my legs and both my arms and I actually have my eyes right there, I could see the world and I don't have cancer today, I really wake up every day happy. Like honest to God, truly. And then I go for coffee. I have no husband to kiss, so I can skip that.
You will soon.
I will. Yes, I definitely will. And then I get my coffee, and then I'm like, "What is the problem? There's no problem here today. We're like alive. Like we've won the day. We've won the day.
Absolutely, you're winning. If you're waking up, you're already winning.
That's how
just
I feel.
Get up, enjoy it, seize the moment, live it to the max. Don't waste time. You know, you're already alive. For me, all my friends are like, you just have like this happiness. You're so energetic. You're just hyper the whole time. And I said, you know what? Yes. And it's not fake. I mean, it's just me. It's just who I am. I am that way. I'm happy. I'm hyper. I love life. It's like my one big joy.
Me too. And that's why it's like, now that we're inside, I mean, so I didn't really need to learn that because I knew that already. But now that this has happened, it's like, well, thank God I lived this way and we'll live this way again.
Yeah.
Hopefully this will teach certain people you should be happy. Like you have no problems. You know what I mean? Like I think if you have your health, that's it. And you have your loved ones, there's no problems.
Absolutely. And by the way, right now we're in quarantine, but I was just talking to the one that I was telling you, my gay closest friend in Puerto Rico. I was just talking, his name is David. I was just talking to him last night. We were doing a FaceTime so we could see each other while he's in quarantine because he's alone at home. So, and with all my friends that are alone, I'm trying to FaceTime so that they don't feel so lonely. So we were doing a FaceTime and he was telling me, listen, I mean, the routine doesn't really get altered much. If you're happy with yourself.
Yeah.
The routine doesn't really get altered. You know, you're doing your thing, you're at home. And we both then said something. We both said, can you imagine when we were going through hurricane times? I lived Hurricane Hugo in Puerto Rico and I was for 1 month with no power, no water, nothing to the point where getting one little ice was like the biggest blessing, you know, because you wanted something cold in a cold drink. Right now, we have all the commodities. We have water, we have power, we have our phones, we can communicate. What are we complaining about?
We have social media.
It's everything. You're being asked to stay in your temple. Your home is your temple. If you don't like your home, there's a problem with you. You know, you're being asked to stay in your temple with all the commodities. Some people tell me, oh, but you have a big home with a big garden. Guess what? You have your TV, you have your shower, you have your food, you have everything. You have your phone to call your loved ones. You have everything. I don't care how small your place is. You have everything you need. Right now we have everything. We're not in some third world country where we don't have you know, water and power. And even then, when I look back, that whole month that I had no water power, I was still happy. You know, we were still just playing outside together. Just, you know, we're like, okay, we have no water. We have no power. It's really hot.
Yeah.
It's killing us, but it is what it is. We're alive. We made it. You know, and we both talked about that last night, David and I, and we said, people just want to complain because they're just not happy within themselves. And that's why they
I think so. I mean, listen, do I want to be home for the next 365 days? No.
No, I want a hug. I want a hug, my friend.
I want a hug. Well, first of all, but if I am, like, I can keep myself busy for the next year. Now, that is not what I want, but I have so much going on here. It's like I'm going down the list and I'm like, there's 800 more things I can get to that I haven't gotten to in the past year from running around.
Yes.
I mean, I am jealous that you have another gay David in your life, but that's enough story.
He's David Antonio.
Okay.
He made my dresses for all my biggest moments in my life.
And he's still in Puerto Rico.
He's still in Puerto Rico. He still designs for me. He did my dress for my wedding, for Miss Universe, for everything, for all.
How is Puerto Rico really bad with Corona, or are they doing better than we are?
No, they're bad too. They're under strict quarantine. Only the same like in LA, only the necessary places are open. The bank, the pharmacies, supermarkets, everything else is closed. They're ordered to stay home. If they go out, the police will tell them, what are you doing? And they will get fined, which I think they need to start fining people in New York
totally.
And here, everywhere. This, I think, frankly, I think if the president said, okay, nobody can leave their homes, it's martial law, nobody can leave their homes for 2 weeks, only 2 weeks, we could fight this thing. But if people are still leaving, then it's going to take us much longer to fight it, you know? But in Puerto Rico, they're taking it very serious. Even when the flights that are coming in, they're taking everybody's temperature. Anybody with a temperature cannot come into the island. So they're being very, very diligent about it.
I think it's even nice that we're allowed to go out for food. I mean, like, it's
absolutely.
There's a way to say, get your food now in the next 48 hours.
Yeah.
There is no more food. Like, you're not leaving at all. There's no grocery store. You literally, there cannot be one human being on the street.
Absolutely.
Get enough food for two. Yeah.
Because the only way to fight it is obviously together. I mean, I see the messages and I see the posts from the people in Spain and in Italy. There was a post from this friend of mine in Italy that said, you don't understand how it is right now. I mean, they are literally picking who they're going to save because they don't have the means. We don't want to let it get there here in the U.S. So in order for us to not let it get there, because we get to learn from their mistakes, we should really learn from their mistakes and not be selfish and not say, you know what? It's spring break, whatever. Let me go out. It doesn't matter. I'm young and strong and I'm going to be okay. How selfish is that mentality?
It's awful.
It's terrible.
It's awful. I know. Like someone said, like over the weekend, like people in Miami, like the like spring breakers, like same thing. They were all on the beaches. Like we're young, we're partying. And I'm like, are you crazy?
Yeah. It's horrible.
Did you see
the hashtag that they created, boomer removal or something like that?
No.
Yes. It's so insensitive and it's so wrong. And I know they want to be cool and they think they're so cool for school. But you know what? You all have parents. So just think of your most loved ones. You have parents or you have an aunt or an uncle or somebody that you love. Just think of your loved ones. It's just so insensitive and so wrong in so many levels.
Like I'm starting to be like, did I think that way when I was 22? I don't know. I don't think I did. I mean,
I don't think I did.
I mean, I was a mess in a lot of other ways, but I don't think I was just like, let me go out. Other people can die. It's not going to be me. I mean, I don't think that was me.
By the way, I can bet you that it wasn't you because just talking to you these few minutes, I can see that that's not in your heart. So it wouldn't be you back then. You're either that person or you're not, you know, and you're not. So, but I know I wasn't like that. I always cared for people. It's just a little empathy, you know?
Yeah.
It's so senseless and just so heartbreaking to even see that somebody could be that selfish, but.
But I feel the same way you do. I think we should just lock down with, like, you cannot leave your establishment. Like, get whatever food you'd like to eat right now, have it delivered, go to the market, do what you got to do. And you know what you need for 2 weeks. And that's your food.
And yeah, that's your food. And make it last. Make it last. Or they could have deliveries by Instacart or whatever, Amazon, whatever. Have the deliveries, and the delivery people are people that they're monitoring the whole time to see if anybody has a fever, if anybody's okay. Have them come, of course, with precautions, with gloves and masks and everything. Like, take it serious, you know, and step up to the task and have these deliveries available so people can order their food and stay home, especially the older ones, you know?
Yeah. Well, you must be happy that your mom is with you, at least.
Oh, my God. I'm so happy because in Hurricane Maria, I didn't have her with me. She was in Puerto Rico, and I was literally going insane. And a friend of mine who's so generous and so amazing tells me, listen, I'll fly, you know, no flight, because no flights were coming in and out, only the private ones for missions and stuff. So a friend of mine, I was collecting missions over here, and my friend says, listen, I'll fly in and get your mom and bring her back to you. I'll fly in my plane just to get her, which was such a generous thing to say. You know, even the thought to me meant the world. And my mom didn't want to get in the flight. My mom is like, no, I'm not going to get in the plane. Don't send the plane because I'm not going to. And I'm like, why are you not going to leave? She's like, I'm cooking for the whole neighborhood. I'm the one cooking. And I'm like, are you kidding me? What do you mean you're cooking? So it just drove me mental. And I was so depressed in Hurricane Maria, and I couldn't stop crying just seeing my island going through so much. So I'm extremely grateful to God that right now she's with me, because otherwise I know I would be a mess. Just thinking, you know, what is she going through? Does she have food? Is she okay? She's all alone in the house. Just thinking of all these things, I know I would be a mess. So I'm so happy she's here.
That's good. So what are your plans after Corona? You're going to see Lisa Vanderpump.
I'm going to see all my girls. It's my birthday the 4th. I highly doubt that by my birthday, we're over Corona. So I'm going to do like I'll do a Zoom birthday party with my friends. I think I'm going to celebrate my birthday. I'm going to see all my friends. I think I'll be out almost every night for dinners with different friends because
every
I want to
see night. I'm going to be out every night.
I want to touch everyone.
Me
I want to give everyone a hug. And of course, I have to fly back to do my work. I have to work, of course. So I travel a lot for work. So I have to fly to do my work. But
do you have any specific projects coming up? Like maybe Siberia will be back.
Maybe that will be back. Right now, I have my hairline. It's the number one hairline in Home Shopping Network. The supplements, my pills, are the number one in the entire market.
Wow.
My hair growth supplements. They're clinically tested, clinically studied, 35% more hair in 90 days.
Really?
Clinically tested.
So is it like Propecia? Is it like an alternative to Propecia?
It's for men? Propecia. It's 100% natural. They're made right here at home in USA, because for me, that's super important. But I have a whole line. I have like 80 SKUs. It's the number one in home shopping. So I'm really excited. But I have to travel a lot for it. I travel, you know, twice a month, three times a month.
Where do you go for that?
I go to Minnesota. I sell out of Minnesota, and I go to New York for my lab. My lab is in New York, so I have to watch my lab, and I drive them a little mental. I know.
If anybody from
my lab is watching, I love you guys.
Where do you go in New York? Do you go near New York City, or is it like upstate?
No, it's upstate.
Okay.
It's upstate. Yeah.
I was going to say, if you're coming to New York, we're going to have a drink.
When my next trip to New York, I'm going to look you up. Actually, write me so I can send you my number.
I will.
I'm always skeptical about sending my number at the beginning. But
listen,
write me again so I can send you my number.
I will. See, you thought, I say this to everyone at the end, you thought we were going to be all drama.
Yes.
And we kept
it. You know, I wrote you that. I said, I'm not talking drama. I was like, no, I know everyone wants to talk drama, and it's just, you know, I'm okay if they want to talk drama, but it's just not the moment. That's why I wrote you that. I'm like, I don't know if we should do this right now. That's why, look, I didn't even glam up for you. I'm sorry. I would have glammed up cute.
Okay. First of all, I'm not glammed up. Look, I'm very casual. And
we're matching.
We kind of are. This is like, I'm in nice sweats, but they're kind of sweats.
Oh, my
like
God.
This.
We're totally matching. I have black bottoms, too.
Oh, my God. look, this is my, like, see this? Whoops. I'm like,
yes, we're totally matching.
Like, this is my like Corona look.
mine says raising little people.
Well, that is what you're doing.
That is what I'm doing. So I thought it was very appropriate for today.
And if I come to LA before you come here,
you call
have
me.
A drink out there. Wait, now before, well, two things. And when you go to, I don't know where you go in Minnesota, but if you go, you need to go to Paisley Park. If you
oh my
never
God, been. I went already.
Isn't it amazing?
It's so cool. I went in one of my first Minnesota trips because I told my husband about how I felt so silly, you know, when Prince passed away. I was like, baby, it's killing me. And he said, okay, let's go there. So we went. It was awesome. And I went with a purple coat and everything. I bought like the prettiest velvet purple coat just to be cute and took
that pictures. Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's everything it should be. I love,
it's
it
so
was great.
Cool. So cool. I love Minnesota, by the way. Minnesota is awesome.
And it's like so the cool. People are really nice.
The people are great. And I like the city. Everyone says, oh my God, there's nothing to do.
It's
I love
cute.
It. I think it's beautiful. The lakes, even just when I'm landing in the plane, I'm like, oh my God, it's so pretty. I love Minnesota. I have so many good friends there. I love it.
Really?
Yeah, I love Minnesota.
Just from going there for work?
Just from going there for work. For
really?
Work, I literally have people that I adore and that are going to be my friends forever just from going there for work because I love it. I love that. The mall is my favorite mall in the world. That mall of the Americas. It's so beautiful.
Do you know where you need to go?
It's like Disneyland for kids.
It's a huge, it's amazing.
It's so pretty. It's
you need to go to Electric Fetus. If you're into music, it's like Prince used to go there. Like, it's not all about Prince, but it's like a great record store. It's like old school record store, but they have like a lot of like rare Prince stuff, but it's just like, it's a great eclectic record store.
Oh, I'm going to go next time.
Write it to me
so I don't forget. Write it to me in the text.
You'll send me your number now that you know that I'm not like, you know, drama. Listen, a lot of people put me, they're like, please don't say this. I'm like, I got it. I'm like, well, keep it positive. Listen, I would never argue if you wanted to talk about drama, but I knew that you did it. And I knew you were friends with Lisa, basically. So I didn't see you at Vanderpump, though. In Vegas, I just read somewhere you were there, and I'm like, I didn't even see her. I didn't see Camille either.
Oh, my God, I was next to her the whole time. It's because you were just so enamored looking at her, you didn't even see me next to her. I was with her the whole time. I was there with her the next day of the breakfast. I flew in with her in the plane. We were together the whole time.
Do you know why I was enamored also? Is because, like, being a Bravo fan, I have to say the best show on Bravo is Vanderpump Rules. So
yay.
I was just obsessed with, like, Stassi and James, like, I love all the kids.
And they're so nice. You know what?
They really are.
And by the way, all of them, even the ones that are dramatic on the show, they're so nice. I like them.
They are.
I love them. James, I adore. James is the most dramatic, and he's the nicest guy in the planet. I'm telling you.
He's a sweetheart.
He's adorable. I love him. My husband loves him. I had him as a judge in my charity. He goes above and beyond. He's like, what else do you need? What else do you want? He's just adorable. Sheena, she was singing in my show. I love her. I mean, the kids are awesome. Kristen is great at the gala just now. She's like, I love you so much. I love your hair. I love those kids. They're all kids. They're like our age, but we call
I like
kids
say,
because Lisa
I say kids. Kids. No, I just saw Kristen like a couple weeks ago. I was in Detroit because I travel for like these events for this job. Kristen did a stand-up thing with Rachel O'Brien in Detroit. So I was just in Detroit with Kristen. Uh-huh. Kristen is like the nicest.
She's so sweet. She's so sweet. We were talking babies and life. I love that girl. She's really, really sweet.
If I had to pick a king and a queen, Kristen's my queen and James is my king. Those are my king and queens.
Okay, I think James would be my king.
That's
and
a good
Lisa,
one.
Lisa would be my queen.
Well, obviously, Lisa is. You know, at BravoCon during the Watch What Happens, that with all this, Lisa, I think, got the biggest applause because I was there. I think Lisa got the biggest applause.
Yeah, I love her. And by the way,
amazing.
You know something? She deserves it.
She does.
She works really hard, and to know her is really to love her. If you know her, you love her. She's really sweet. She's a great friend. She's a great mom. She's a great wife. She's an amazing entrepreneur. She works her butt off. I love her. You know, a lot of people say, oh, when I was in the show, don't drink the Kool-Aid. I'm like, what Kool-Aid? She's an awesome human being. I mean, I love her. I laugh so hard with her. We laugh so much. We cried so much when we have anything going on in our lives. I love her. She's amazing.
Well, when I come and we do our drink, we could go to Tom Tom and Pum.
Okay, we'll do that.
Now, before we go, this is what I need to do because I don't want to, I mean, this is not the same as giving you a hug, but I want to take a picture of you because when this episode comes out, and then I'm going to take a picture of us together, which okay. watch. This okay. is what the world, this
should
is
I,
what.
Should I try to be sexy?
Okay, first of all. And thank your husband for, like, organizing the Skype. He was very good. Okay, first of all, you look amazing. I don't know how you think this is not glam. Now, this
is... Did you see I gave you poses and everything?
Okay, wait, let me do... Let me just... Yes.
Okay, let me see. Look, my little munchkin walked in, and he's like, what are you doing? And I'm here posing.
Hold on. Let me do one more, and then we will... we'll say goodbye before these... people cut us off. All right, let's just go like this. Hold on. Sorry. I lost you for a minute.
Okay, let me put it this way so I have you over here.
I'll do like this and then we'll say goodbye. That is like perfect. Look at this. That's amazing.
I see your flash going and I'm like, ta, 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 ta.
I appreciate all of this amazingly. My engineers and producers are like, okay, David, wrap it up. I could talk to you for hours. I really appreciate everything.
Thank you, love. Thank you so much. You're awesome.
Send me a
text. If you ever need any uplifting text or you ever need to talk right now when you're alone, I'm a phone call away.
So I love that. I might take you up on that.
Yes, 100%.
I love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you to the engineers, the people behind the scenes, because they were awesome. With hubby setting it up because I can't do any of it.
Me either.
I love you guys.
I'll text you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.